I'm continuing my series on Genesis, and this week and Reformation next week, I'm going to talk about Noah. It's not part one and two. It's two different sermons. There's two amazing and beautiful, just beautiful things that we glean from this story. Just great words, great story, by the way, too. It is, it just unfolds God's activity among humans. So Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives, they lost everything. The word everything is used in the story. The flood comes and destroys everything. I understand flooding a little more now since I've been in Tucson with those, you know, streets that are closed all the time. It's hard to get home sometimes when you're living in the extremities of town. But flooding is not good on one hand. You know, a lot of water is good. You know, monsoon season's fantastic. But we're talking about too much water. And they lost everything. Sometimes I think we might get this glimpse that, wow, it's like a cruise. You know, these guys have no responsibilities except to feed the animals or whatever. I mean, this is kind of great. They were saved by God. Yahoo! I don't think so. Think about it. They lost everything. Everything. What's going on in the ship? What's going on in the minds of these people? Think about it. They've lost their all the things that were steady and sure in their life. They lost, I mean, if one of them was a Kwanian, they lost their chapter. They lost friends, all their friends and extended family. They lost everything, and the anxiety level must have been off the roof. Well, don't talk about the roof now. It's still storming. Because there's 40 days of rain, right? Remember that? But how long are they on the ship without hope? Because they see nothing in the horizon. How long? 5 months. 5 months, 40 days and 5 months. Now, I'm not sure if they overlap, but there's 5 months. 5 months, and they keep looking into the horizon, looking. And they can't control it. This symbolizes for us just being out of control, which we all are. We cannot control things. And this ark had no rudder, had no sails, had no centerboard. It just went where the wind blew. Just went where the wind blew, and they were helpless to do anything about it. Sound familiar? You see, if you don't see in the Old Testament yourself, you're going to miss everything. And that's what we've been trying to incorporate throughout this whole series. They had lost everything. And they looked out on the horizon, and there was no hope because there's no land. Remember, he sends a raven out first, comes back empty. Sends a dove out, comes back empty-handed. Can you imagine? empty-beaked. How does that sound? Empty-beaked. And the second time he sends a dove out, even though they cannot see anything, any hope of landing again, there's an olive branch, right? That's the hope. So in the midst of looking, now they look differently. When they looked in the horizon, they didn't see anything, but now they believed it was there. They knew it was there. God gave them just a little piece of the future, right there, an olive branch. This story, and next week I'm going to diagram it like we did for the prodigal son story. We're going to diagram the story, and just like many ancient texts, and we did this already, I think, at least once. The end, the beginning, and the end are the same. These parts of the story are the same. These parts. And in the middle is something unique. And we'll diagram this next week. We'll show the story. You remember God sees wickedness, but over here he sees the rainbow. He commands Noah to build the ark. He commands Noah to build a family. I mean, see, they go in like that. What's in the middle? Curious? What's in the middle? Of course you're not curious. I gave you sermon notes. You cheaters, right? In the middle of the whole structure, literary structure, are the words, God remembered Noah and the rest. God remembered them. Now, this is not for Noah, is it? The story's past. He's relating the story. This isn't for Noah. This is for you and I. And this is going to sound a little bit like the sermon of Genesis 1, same thing. The water issue, the flooding in God's word enters and begins to organize and bring order out of chaos. God remembered Noah. Sometimes we lose everything, don't we? Things that are dear. really dear. You get cancer, and it just changes your life, at least for a while. Or a loved one gets cancer and they're not going to make it. Or a relationship that was so important to you is cut. Finances change. Look at the economy is pretty difficult right now. You know, maybe you're dealing with some of those needs. A lot of grief in this world, a lot of grief on the ark. And there's a seasickness that is a part of our lives. This world, why do we keep expecting so much from this world and get so mad when we don't get it or we suffer instead? We are off base on our expectations. We can't expect anything from a finite, fallen world that could somehow satisfy our deepest needs. God remembered Noah. God remembers you. God remembers you. Kay and I have been through several periods of serious suffering, and in this room, I'm sure that maybe that's the average. Who knows? But there's a lot of suffering that's happened in this room. And right now, if you would be able to get that suffering and put it on a scale, I don't know, it'd be a huge amount, way over what you think. Because you might be struggling today. And I went through a period, she was with me, but it was me physically, about 15 years ago. I started having to wake up at night every 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes. Sometimes I could sleep an hour, but that's it. So I'd wake up 7, 8 times a night. I got so exhausted, it turned into depression. For 1 year, I didn't have a life. I did what I had to do in my work, my family, and that's it. And I'd crawl back into bed. And you know, after 1,000 days, you just kind of give up hope. You think, you know what? God knows, I don't know. 1,000 days, I woke up and I felt like crap. I felt horrible. I didn't want to live. I certainly wasn't going to kill myself. I mean, I had, you know, you can still have joy, even in depression or things like that, the joy of knowing Christ. But I didn't care if I lived or died. And when you're depressed, if you understand depression or have experienced it, you don't feel anything. I didn't feel love for God, which makes you feel horrible. You know, you don't have that same affection and love for people around you, your loved ones. You just lose this interest in things. And you feel like you're on a ship, and it's just taking you where the wind blows. Seasickness. Seasickness is part of this world, because we are always on a boat. Sometimes it just happens that the wind is blowing us in the right direction, but then everything breaks loose, as it has the last 3 years, and nothing works. So, it was horrible, 1,000 days. I prayed every day, God, take this from me. Kay and I have seen so many miracles, I know so many people that have seen miracles. It's unbelievable. We know God can do anything, but he didn't. He chose not to do anything. Every day praying, God, wouldn't it make sense? I'd have more energy for ministry. I'd have more love and affection for you and others. It doesn't make sense that you wouldn't want that for me. I've seen you heal. I've seen you do all kinds of stuff. Wake up the next day, and I just had nothing. I just had no interest in life. I was on the ship, and I was going where the wind blew. I was looking for an olive branch, because I didn't experience God at all in any way. You know, I just didn't see him. Now, through this process, we finally realized that it was a demonic attack that God was allowing, because God wants us to grow. See, our expectations, you know, as Christians are, Sandals Resort. I'm saved, now life is going to be like Sandals Resort in the Caribbean. Yeah, I'm going to pop up a chair, and every time that doesn't work really well, we get mad at God. See, God's expectations are that when we become Christian, we go to boot camp, right? See, isn't that the problem with our expectations? Our expectations are that it's going to be a life of ease and happiness. God wants us deep rather than really happy all the time. He blesses us with happiness, but he wants us deep. He wants us compassionate. He wants us to die to self and live for him. And sometimes the only way these things can happen is through suffering, being on the ship. And finally, we just kind of realized that God was at work in us, breaking me. I mean, he broke me. I mean, I had no pride left. It comes back, by the way. after you go through things, it'll come back. But for a while, at least, I didn't have pride because I had nothing. I couldn't do anything. I quit writing. I thought after 1,000 days, I'd never write a thing again. And then came the olive branch. Kay and I are walking on the track at the YMCA in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. It's a second level above the basketball courts. It's around the basketball courts, second level. And we were walking. A woman was putting chairs out on the side of the track. And when we got to her, I'd never seen her before. I didn't know who she was. She said, "Can I talk with you?" So Kay and I sat down, and she said, "You know, I'm so-and-so. I'll go to this church, and we know, our prayer group knows that you've been struggling with this depression and exhaustion." And she said, "I saw you last week playing basketball, and what was really impressed upon me was the word breakthrough." Okay. Have a nice day. And then my brother called, because I was going to go to a spiritual life conference in Minneapolis that I tried to go to every year, and I was going to go, but I went on a youth trip, forgot my sleeping bag, so I had to sleep in the car every night for 5 nights. And I'm exhausted anyway, and I get back from this youth trip, and I have to go to this conference tomorrow if I'm going to go. I said no. My brother Craig called, and he said, "Kent, you're supposed to go to this conference. I had a dream last night. In the dream, you were in an outbuilding on your property, all dark. You had a pitchfork, and you're poking up through the roof until the hole developed, and you're able to straddle it, and then the dream ended." Again, that somehow spiritual warfare is involved, right? And there's a breakthrough. Went to the conference. I trudged my way to the conference. 1,000 days, I was a trudger. That's when my wife started calling me trudger. I just trudged to the conference. I had no energy in me to, you know, even singing songs. It was just so long. And we went to the pastor's day first. Show up at the pastor's day. The first speaker gets up, opens a manila folder full of papers and said, "I was going through a tough time a while back, and then God started sending breakthrough to me. The word breakthrough just kept coming to me." And he had all the evidences of breakthrough. I thought, started getting my attention. I was at a hotel, came back for breakfast one of the mornings, came down for breakfast. I'm sitting there, looked up in the screen, it said breakthrough across the TV. I looked around to see, am I just me seeing this? What is this? Breakthrough came across the screen. It was just bizarre. You know what it was for? Breakthrough. What commercial is that? Remember 15 years ago? Cadillac. Breakthrough, right? Breakthrough, the Cadillac. And so, I mean, that was an olive branch. Sometimes when you lose so much, and you grieve so much, you have doubts whether God's with you. You don't hear him. How many of you have been? I wrote a book called Hearing God. We experience God in so many ways, I had to put in a book. After finishing the book, I didn't hear from God for 2 years. That's ironic. That's ironic. And it's during this period, we just didn't see God. That's okay. Don't worry. That's very common. It's natural, and it's going to happen. We're going to suffer. But from this time, I began to get better. I discovered it was a bladder disease that doesn't get worse, and medication helped me, and I got my life back. But the olive branch, these things, the woman stopping us on the track who didn't know us, my brother's dream, the Cadillac commercial, the speaker, they were olive branches. See, I didn't have to see anymore the future for sure, because I knew God remembered me. God remembers you. You got to understand this. God remembers you, even if you don't see him. God remembers you, even when we are seasick. Look at this. Listen to this from Isaiah. Israel said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Got to hear this. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." Are you on the ship this morning? Maybe these words from the story today are your olive branch. You are not alone. You're never alone. He will not forget you. Remember the, what's the Christmas story? The boy gets, they leave him at home. They're going on vacation. All the commotion, they leave him at home. Home alone, of course. They forget their son. It's incredible. Now, I've forgotten my anniversary. I haven't forgotten my child. In fact, by the way, man, best way to remember your anniversary is to forget it just once. There's a man named David in one congregation I served. And David came in, he was suicidal. His life was miserable. He was on the ship, just being tossed. He didn't see God. And shortly after that, he came in my office and he said, I was driving around Fergus Falls, the rolling hills, and I was fantasizing a herd of cattle getting out in the middle of the road. If I saw that, I'd just speed up. I fantasized speeding up and just ramming into them, hopefully killing myself. Just after he thought that, comes over a hill, and there's a Clydesdale horse standing in the middle of the road. What? By the way, some of these things are too coincidental. You look for God in coincidences. He gets out of his vehicle and he gets to the horse. He walks right up to the horse who's standing in the middle of the road. Walks right up and pets it. And what's God saying? What's God saying? And I'm sorry I cry sometimes. God is so good. I mean, what he does for us, what he has done for us. I don't know why, as I grow older, just sense it, just this incredibleness of God, this love of God. What was he telling David? What was he telling David? What's a Clydesdale? It's a workhorse. Dave's all on his own, thinking he's all alone, walking the road. And here's a Clydesdale that really is inviting him to throw his load on top and get inside, and he will carry you. Put your burden on God. And I didn't think about this beforehand, but I just thought of it now for the scripture reading, the second scripture reading, or the gospel, I'm sorry, gospel. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When he saw that Clydesdale and he touched that Clydesdale, I think the point was that Christ wants to be our Clydesdale. He's committed to being our Clydesdale. He carries the load. If it's for salvation, he carries the whole load. But just making it through life sometimes, he's a Clydesdale. There's a woman from a church in Fertile, Minnesota. And her husband owned a trucking business, and they were close to bankruptcy. Lots of stress. The man started getting ulcers. He was so anxious and fearful and stressed. And one night, his wife was going through the books trying to figure out if there's some way out of this. She fell asleep. She woke up in the middle of the night, and she remembered she had a dream. And in the dream, her husband there's a deer outside of the school in a little town of Fertile. There was a deer outside, and there was a black dog chasing it in the yard at the school. And it was her. She went out with a hammer, and she just pounded on the dog until it wasn't a threat anymore. Within days, Don, the man, is driving to a certain town on a road that he usually doesn't take. He looks out in a field. He sees a black dog chasing a deer who's petrified and anxious. No olive branch here. That deer sees no hope because the dog's just going to harass him till the deer's out of energy. He sees a black dog chasing a deer. The deer walks up to him and licks him. Again, this is too crazy. This is too much to write. I mean, this is wild. He knew immediately what God was saying. Be like the deer. Come to me, and I'll take care of you. The olive branch means peace, doesn't it? And what we're looking for in this world of flood and lack of control is we're just looking for peace. And by the way, you can get peace. In fact, this is the godly biblical peace, is when you get it, when you naturally are everything against it, right? Everything's going wrong, right? A woman lost her husband. She had three little kids from a church I served. And She was devastated. She was on the ship. She had no control over anything. Her life was just taken off. And between the death and the funeral, she was doing errands that she needed to get done, and she was standing at one point somewhere out of her house, out there doing the errands, and she felt a hand on her shoulder. And she knew there was no hand on her shoulder, but she was flooded with peace. And by the way, these stories are a dime a dozen. How many of you felt peace when you shouldn't have felt peace? Raise your hand. Okay, maybe 20, 30. We don't talk about this stuff, do we? Are you struggling today? Do you feel like there's no hope? You're looking out in the horizon and you don't see any land to land on. You don't see where your life's going to come down again in a particular area or maybe your whole life. And I want to tell you again today, this might be your olive branch. God's word says God remembers you. Not just Noah. This was written for you and I. God remembers you. The back of the form I gave you, I thought of three tips for the flood. Three tips of the flood should be for the flood. One, don't be surprised when you experience great suffering. Don't think that God's against you. The greatest Christians of all ages suffered terribly. Jesus suffered terribly. 10 disciples were probably tortured and killed. Okay, watch your expectations. Don't get mad at God if something bad happens. It's amazing that God still keeps life floating, right? Be careful for your expectations. You're going to suffer. It's because God wants you in boot camp. You and I aren't perfect yet. What happened to me in all those years of suffering is that I gave up my life. I had nothing to hold on to. I had nothing. I wanted to die. But it's easy to give your life to God. He broke pride. He helped me die to self for a time. You know, it always comes back. But don't be surprised. If you're suffering, don't somehow think that that equals that God isn't with you or doesn't love you. A youth camp trip once, we were camping and around the fire, and one of the kids said, well, the stars aren't out tonight because there are clouds. I looked up, I said, buddy, I don't know what you're seeing, but they're always out. Just that sometimes you can't see them. Okay, so God's in your life. He remembers you. Now, I'm not talking if you need to know Christ, come to salvation, that's a separate issue. I'm talking to Christians here. He's always out. You may not see him, and it may be a long suffering. It may be a long time. Keep praying against it, but don't be surprised. Secondly, don't be surprised that God does not answer quickly. 1,000 days, he could have done it like that, and he didn't. And three, don't be surprised when God sends an olive branch. It could be a word of God. It could be a scripture. That's why I get in the Bible. You'll keep getting olive branches. You open up the Bible, and there's a whole tree in there. You can tear off branches as much as you want. Those olive branches, but don't be surprised. And I think today might be your olive branch that this text was being preached today. Okay? God loves you. You don't have to worry about him not caring about your being with you. All I want to say, and you know what I'm going to say, God remembers you. Amen.